I want you to turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Jonah. Before we had our little break we were considering this wonderful book of Jonah. I started off by just giving one message from it, but we now have given several messages from the first chapter of the prophecy of Jonah. And I want to turn once again to Jonah and chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 14 to the end of verse 17. And may the Lord help us this morning as we turn to his word, that he will challenge us once again from this very challenging book. Jonah chapter 1, verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. We won't read verse 17, because I don't think I'll get to that verse. We'll come back to that maybe next Lord's Day. Let me just begin by reminding you that this book really is not a prophecy, but it is the history of a prophet. And it's the story of how God dealt with this man. You remember that God gave him a mission to Nineveh, that great city of Nineveh, that he was to go there and cry out against it because of all the sin and the iniquity that was found in Nineveh. But Jonah rebelled against the way of God, and he was on the way to Tarshish. We know that Tarshish was in the opposite direction to where he should have been going, to Nineveh. In fact, it was the furthest he could possibly go at that particular time in the history of mankind. Here was a man who was running away from duty. But more than that, he was running away from God. I suppose you could say that this book really is the history of mankind, because way back in the Garden of Eden, man rebelled against God. And man has been running away from God ever since. Some of you here this morning, when you read these words and you consider the message of this particular book, may find yourself in a similar manner, rebelling against God, running away from duty and from God himself. Jonah's great sin was the sin of disobedience. And once again, we apply it to ourselves, and we have to say the great sin of mankind is disobedience. It has been right from the very beginning, and it is today. Written across the pages of our newspapers could be the word disobedience. And you read the stories and the events and the happenings in this world of ours, and we realize that so many of them are caused simply and solely because of disobedience. Now, those of you who followed the messages so far from this particular chapter will agree with me when I say that Jonah could never ever have expected to be in such a predicament, in such a situation. When he went down to Joppa and found so easily a ship going to Tarshish, when he paid the fare, and because he now feels that he's away from God and away from all the things that he ought to be doing, he falls asleep. You could have never imagined, he could have never imagined, what would actually take place. Why, he might be dreaming at this particular moment of the day or the time when he disembarks, when he comes to the port which he'd paid the fare to go to, and he walks down the gangway, and he puts his feet on dry land once again. A land full of promise as far as he was concerned, but a land of disobedience for him as well. But we know just what happened. While he was there, falling asleep and dreaming of a better life as far as he was concerned, a storm arises. It's no ordinary storm. It's a storm which God sends. And remember this, that God is in charge of all these things, because he's the sovereign ruler of the skies. And this great storm arises. The Bible says there was a great wind, that there was a mighty tempest. And if that is not enough, verse 13 speaks about it wrought more. And what it really means is it grew worse by the minute. Verse 15 tells us that it was a raging storm. I don't think that we could understand what this really must have been. Some people have the idea that the ship that Jonah was in was just a little light craft. It wasn't that at all. It was a mighty ocean-going liner. That's what it would have been. And the sailors who were there were very experienced men. But the ship is likely to be broken. And the sailors, experienced as they were, are about to lose their lives. And Jonah is asleep. Oh, how tragic it is to see Christians asleep when this world of ours is going to hell. How tragic it is that we as Christians are sleeping and letting the opportunities go by us instead of working in the vineyard of the Lord's service. Oh, that we might realize that we're not to be sleepers, but rather we're to be workers in the work of God. Now, the story goes on, of course, and you will know the story. Jonah is found to be the cause of this great storm. They take lots, and we've considered all that together, and we understand that Jonah was taken. He was the cause. And now he confesses, and he tells them what to do. A strange thing. But Jonah, of course, is the only man who knows what to do. And the Christian, you see, in this present world of ours, we're the only people who know what to do. That's the responsibility that is put on us. Oh yes, politicians can meet, and politicians can debate, and we know that they can have the United Nations, as they have at this very moment, debating the world's troubles and the world's ills, and we can have our parliaments in each land. But let me tell you, it's only the Christian who really knows what to do as far as spiritual things are concerned. And so Jonah confesses, yes, it was him. It was his rebellion, it was his disobedience, it was his running away from the presence of the Lord that caused this storm. So what should they do? Jonah tells them, take me up and throw me in the sea, and the sea will cease its raging. What a confession, and what a thing actually to say. But that is exactly what they had to do, and that is exactly what they were told to do. And it was the word of a prophet. He never ceased to be a prophet. This was the word of the Lord. So let me, if I can this morning, just tell you one or two things about this particular portion that we've read together. First of all, I want you to notice their submission. Their submission. You know, one of the great blessings of this story was the conversions. Absolutely quite tremendous. First of all, there was the conversion of the crew of this great ship. I don't know how many sailors there were there, and it's the sailors that we're going to think about this morning. I don't know how many there were there, but once again, it wasn't just one or two. It was a mighty ocean-going ship. So you could imagine, this was a great number. They were all converted. And then when eventually Jonah goes to Nineveh and preaches the word of God to them, 1 million people were converted. 1 million people. Now you imagine this. If only we obey God, if only we did that which was right, God could shower down blessings unprecedented that we could hardly imagine in our minds. And if all of us here this morning would lay all upon the altar for God, and we gave everything we had to the Lord, what could the Lord do in mighty power and blessing through us? So we come and we want to speak about the submission of these sailors, these mariners, as the Word of God tells us. And there are three things I want you to notice. The first thing I want you to notice is what they realized, what they had come to realize. Verse 13, we go back here. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought, or got worse, and was tempestuous against them. We noted before this word nevertheless, and I said that the nevertheless here is a very instructive word. We could consider it brave, or if you like, noble, for these men to say, no, we're not going to throw you in the sea. We know that that would mean certain death, but we will try. And we will row this boat to land. We will do all in our power. We know the sails are no use, but we're going to row it as far and as fast and as hard as we possibly can. And we may say that was a very brave thing, a very noble thing to do. But notice this, it was contrary to the will of God. It was contrary to the will of God. God revealed His will and His word through His prophet. Take me up, throw me into the sea, so shall it cease its raging. And what we have to consider this morning is this, that you can't compromise with the will of God. You can't compromise with what God tells us to do. And if we try, we're always in trouble. We must obey what God actually says. Now they've realized, and this is the point, they've now realized that they can't fight against God's way. Their efforts were in vain and futile and useless because it wasn't what God had said. And so in that verse you'll see these little words, but they could not. But they could not. Oh, how we ought to have those words written over us sometimes. We struggle to succeed in our own strength. We struggle to work it out. We struggle to think that this is the right way, but it isn't. God's way is perfect. And it's the only way that really counts. And we must understand, but they could not. And so now they come to this realization that they couldn't do it in their own strength. Now the second thing that you'll notice here, and it's very important, is what they recognized. So what they realized, now what they recognized. They recognized that they must have faith in God's way. Now I want you to put yourself in the place of these mariners just for a moment. Just imagine that you were there. And Jonah says, and I'll read it to you in verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth in the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that it is for my sake this great tempest is upon you. And he's saying this to these rough, tough sailors, men of the sea. How could they believe that? By taking up one man, casting him into the sea, which was against all their principle as sailors, that it would be peace and calm around about them. They needed faith to believe that, didn't they? Total, absolute, utter faith. You see, it was against all of human reason. And surely you can see this. It would have been against your reason, wouldn't it? I can't do that. But you see, sometimes we must submit to God's way only. And we must believe what God says. If God says it in His word, it is true. If God says it in our lives, it must be right. Don't compromise. But have faith. Can't understand it, humanly speaking. But have faith in the mighty God of heaven. Believe that God, and God alone, is able to work it out. Now the third thing you'll see about these mariners is this, what they resolved. Shall we read again verse 15? So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. So, that little word is very eloquent as well. What it means is, so, because of what they realized, couldn't do it themselves, what they recognized, that they must do it by faith, believing that God would bring a miracle. So, they resolved. It's interesting to know this, that Jonah did not jump into the sea. He must be thrown. You see, faith must be shown. Sometimes we pray as if God's going to do it all. And we say, Lord, do it. We don't want to do anything at all. No, no, no. We have to do it. Faith must be shown. There must be a submission. And now these mariners have come to this point of submission. And submission demands obedience to do what God has said. I don't know if you saw just recently in the press. There was an item which, it was only a small item, which said about doctors, how they were complaining that people do not take instructions or don't follow instructions. And in some parts of the country, they even said that 90% of the patients do not follow instructions. And these are the things they said. They don't take the pills, even though they're prescribed to them. They cheat on diets, even though that's the only answer for them. They continue to smoke or drink when they know it's ruining their health and will kill them. And they don't even return for checkups when they ought to. Now we may say, how foolish. How foolish are we sometimes when God gives us instructions and tells us and we don't do what we ought to. Submission. We need to be submitted to the will of God and to do that which He pleases. Now the second thing that I want you to see in these verses is supplication. Look at verse 14. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it hath pleased thee. This is a remarkable verse. Remember the people who are actually praying this prayer. The mariners, the sailors, the ungodly, the pagans. My, what a remarkable change has taken place. And there are five things in that particular verse, and you will note them, and even perhaps you may have underlined them when you've read it. I want you to notice, first of all, how wise they were because of the person they prayed to, unto the Lord. The word Lord is in capital letters, isn't it? And that means that in the original, it is always the name Jehovah. Now, the pagans never acknowledged Jehovah. Only Israelites acknowledged Jehovah. What a contrast. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God. They cried every man to his God. So whatever God they had at that particular moment, they were crying to him. And they were, in effect, praying to him. But now they realize this important fact, that praying is only effective if we're praying to the true God. And so they're saying, unto the Lord, Jehovah, the God of heaven, the true God. Oh, my friend, these have been converted, haven't they? Their theology has changed. They knew that paganism has no value in times of trouble. All people pray in times of trouble, I believe it. But listen, make sure you pray to the correct and right and living God. It's no good coming to trouble and just saying, oh God, help me. Oh, I know that God does. I know that God is a gracious and a kind and a good God. But you need to know this God. You need to know this Jehovah of heaven. Just like these mariners, they've been converted. You need to be converted. You need to be saved. You need to come to Christ. You need to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you can pray unto the Lord. And the Lord will answer. The second thing I want you to notice is the passion. There are various words that are used. You can note them. You'll see them. They cried unto the Lord. They beseech the Lord. They beseech the Lord. It's mentioned twice there. Now let me say quite clearly to you, this is not a casual prayer, is it? It's not a cold prayer. It's not a formal prayer. It's not a recitation of words. It's fervent. It's earnest. It's powerful. It's crying unto the Lord. Oh, that we might learn the secret of that. If you're not a Christian here in this service, you've never come to Christ, you have to cry unto the Lord. In other words, you've got to be sincere. In other words, you've got to mean it. You've got to be fervent. And Christian, it's no good us going through our prayers as if it's just a recitation of words. We've got to mean what we pray. We have to cry unto the Lord. That's what brings blessing. That's what brings revival. Really crying unto the Lord. And then the third thing you'll notice is the petition. And what I mean by the petition is, what are they praying about? What is their great concern? It's obvious to me that they thought that Jonah would perish when he went into the water. They had faith to believe, yes, that's what God said. But they did believe that Jonah would perish when he went into the water. And that would be, if they thought right, tantamount to them killing him. Now there are two things. First of all, they would not disobey. Or rather, they prayed that they would not die because of his sin. Lord, don't let this man's sin be put upon us. And then the second thing they're praying is, if they obeyed what God said, don't let his blood be accountable to them. So what they're really praying for is forgiveness and to be free from guilt. Isn't this important for all of us? We're all guilt-laden creatures of the dust. And every person here this morning, it doesn't matter if you count yourself respectable or the vilest of a sinner, you're guilt-laden before God. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a just man upon the whole face of the earth. There is none that sinneth not. And so every one of us are before God with guilt and with sin. And there's one thing that we need, and that is forgiveness. And so every day of our lives, Lord, forgive us of our sin. Forgive us this day. Forgive us this day. Oh, how we need to pray that continually, that the Lord will forgive us our sins. And then I want you to notice the fourth thing here, and that is the providence. It's in the last part of this prayer that's found in verse 14. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it hath pleased thee. They're recognizing the sovereignty of God. That God is a God over all things, even the storms at sea. They're acknowledging the power and the providence of the God who is able to do all things. In other words, they're giving honour to God. Look at our lives. Do we acknowledge that God is over all and his providence has his hand upon us and that God is sovereign? That really is submission, isn't it? And it should be in our supplication as well. The fifth thing I want you to notice is the peace. We go to verse 15 in the last part. And the sea ceased from her raging. Just a comment here. God answers prayer when they obey, but not before. Peace is the product of submission to God's will. The impossible is now made possible when they obey God. You know, we all have a raging in our lives. We all have trouble and trial and difficulty. But you know, it stops when we submit to the will of God. What I mean by that, the Lord may not take us out of tribulation, but he'll give us the strength to bear it, and he'll give us the courage and the faith and all that we need to go through. They had to get rid of their trouble. And sometimes we have to get rid of our own trouble. Their trouble was Jonah. Cast him forth. Didn't want to do it first of all. But now they believe it and they did it. Cast him forth. And the sea ceased her raging. Is there some sin in your life you're not prepared to get rid of? Something in your life you're not prepared to throw in the sea? So that this raging may stop and you may have peace with God? And that you might have peace in your own soul today? Oh, my friend, be courageous. Get rid of it. So this morning we saw submission and supplication. Now we're going to see service. Verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I want you to see here is a most remarkable scene. It is a service of worship in the midst of an ocean. Now, maybe there's lots of services been held on ships and boats. I'm sure that there have been. But this is most remarkable. This is the greatest storm that you could ever imagine. And now it has become peaceful. And immediately what they do is to have a service of worship. Do you know that there are various ingredients of a service of worship? We're living in a day, it seems to me, when true worship is very rare. And there are three ingredients of real true worship that we always ought to have whenever we come together. First of all, there must be conviction. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. You know, fear had played a great and important part in their lives during that day, and perhaps it was just that day. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his own God. And then look at verse 10. Then were the men exceedingly afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? Now what we've read there is the human physical or mental fear which all of us have at some time or another. But now we come to this verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. This is a different sort of fear, isn't it? This is a spiritual fear. The word we often associate with this fear in the Bible is the awe of God. The men feared the Lord. Before they were frightened of the circumstances and the situation that they found themselves in. But now it's fear in the Lord. It's the awe of God. It's the respect for God. It's the reverence for God. It's the honour for God. Now let me say quite clearly to you, and I want you to take it, this is something lacking in today's worship. People come to church for a number of different reasons. Sometimes it's a social reason. My friends are all there. I must go to see them. Sometimes it's for even business contacts. Other times it's because of appearance. They like to give the appearance to their families or even to their neighbours. They're going to church. Today people go to church because of entertainment. It's good entertainment in some places. Our motivation should always be the fear of the Lord. We come to give honour to God And from the very start, we come into the service or we come into church, we should have reverence. We should have honour of God. We should come to respect the things of God. And even the house of God. Let's have more respect about the things of God. Our motivation is the fear of the Lord. The men fear the Lord exceedingly. Go through the Acts of the Apostles. One of the great signs of the early church when the Holy Spirit was upon them was the fear of the Lord. And somehow it seems to me that proves that the Spirit of God is not upon the church, generally speaking. The fear of God is not in the church, and the fear of God is not outside of the church, because it's not found, first of all, amongst the people of God, and we need to have it. It was said of John Knox that his motto was concerning the fear of God, and it was written about him, he feared no man, because he feared God much. If we fear God much, we fear no man. The book of Proverbs says, doesn't it? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Conviction. Have you got conviction today? And then secondly, confirmation. It says here, they feared the Lord exceedingly. That's conviction. And offered a sacrifice unto the Lord. That's confirmation. Fear is the inward motivation. Sacrifice is the outward manifestation. Now, when I first read this and I started to meditate upon it, I thought to myself, what did they sacrifice unto the Lord? They'd got rid of everything. All the wares of the ship they threw overboard, didn't they? So all the goods had gone, everything they owned and everything they possessed, it had all gone overboard. Not much left, was there, for them to sacrifice. But somehow, that's the point. They are sacrificing everything they have at this particular point. You may say to me this morning, but I haven't got much of this world's goods. I haven't got much of anything. And because you have little, you think you're exempt. No, you're not. No, you're not. Here are people who had nothing left, but they gave everything to God. They gave everything that they did have left. They gave themselves. Totally, utterly. That was the sacrifice they made. They gave themselves. I wonder if we do that. I wonder if we're prepared to do that. We spend lavishly on ourselves. Yes, we do. We give great amounts for our worldly pursuits. Yes, we do. What do we give to God? You say, I haven't got anything to put in the collection. Yes, you have. We should all give a tithe unto the Lord. And if you don't, then you're missing out on the blessing of God. Because when you honour God with your substance, God honours you. It doesn't matter how little, how large. Give the Lord his due. And you say, but I haven't got it. You have. You've got yourself. And you need to give yourself to the Lord. We must give ourselves to the Lord. That's a sacrifice. Conviction, confirmation. And then the third thing here is consecration. Look at it. It says here, and made vows. Made vows. You know what a vow is. It's a promise, isn't it? But what did they vow on that day? I wish I could have heard. It's not recorded, is it? But what do you think they vowed? Perhaps they said, Lord, I'm going to forsake my ungodly and unholy habits. That's a good vow to make to the Lord, isn't it? Perhaps they said, I vow to tell others about this wonderful, saving God of heaven. Perhaps they vowed to be honest in business dealing. Perhaps they vowed to clean up their profane language. Perhaps they vowed to serve God for the rest of their lives. I don't know, but one thing I know, it was decision time. And they vowed unto the Lord. Don't you think we ought to vow every time we come to church? Every time we go on our knees, every time we open the Word, every day of our lives. Oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve Thee to the end. Are you prepared to vow unto the Lord today? The early Christians called baptism sacramentum. It's a Latin word. And it was a word that was used for the Roman soldier's oath of obedience. And it was an oath of loyalty and obedience to the general. Well, maybe we've been baptized and we said, Lord, everything. But then we've been taking it back ever since. And yet today we must come and we must say, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in secret prayer. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to give us a spirit of vows unto the Lord. What an amazing day in the life of the mariners. Oh, if only they had written the experience of that day in a book. My, what a story. It was the day of their lives. But it was the day of their lives because now they'd come to submission to God. Isn't it strange? We never hear about these mariners again. But they leave us with a testimony of what they did. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. And that was the testimony for the rest of their lives. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that's the testimony of our lives from this moment onward, that we say, yes, that's me. It's got to be me from now on. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to give Him everything. I'm going to honour His day. And I'm going to give Him His due. I'm going to do everything which He pleases. I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm going to go full through with God in all that He wants me to do. May God help us each one to do that.